Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Sobha Limited Q4 FY22 results conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Adhidev Chattopadhyay from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Sobha Limited Q4 FY22 results call. From the management we have with us Mr. Jagdish Nangineni, the Managing Director, Mr. Yogesh Bansal, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Soumyadeep Saha, who is now the Head of IR, Mr. Ramesh Babu, Senior VP Finance, and Mr. Vigneshwar Bhat, the Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. I'd now like to hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks. Over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Adhidev. This is Jagdish here. Good evening, everyone who are participating in this call despite it being a Saturday weekend. We are pleased to interact with you today post declaration of our unaudited financial results for the fourth quarter and financial year 2022, ended 31st March 2022, through this con call hosted by ICICI Securities. Thank you, Adhidev and team, for organizing this call. We have already shared the operational update of the company in the first week of April 2022. The investor presentation based on the financial audited financial results adopted by the board can be downloaded from the website of our company. To start with, I request Mr. Yogesh Bansal, CFO of our company, to take you through the financials quickly before I make additional commentary and open the floor for questions.
Thank you, sir. I would like to welcome all of you on Sobha earnings call. We are happy to announce that Sobha has shown improvement in sales and achieved a total sales volume of 4.91 million cases, valued at 38.70 billion, with a total average price realization of 7,883 per sq ft in FY22. This was primarily driven by good sale numbers achieved in Bangalore, Gurgaon and GIFT City. All these three regions recorded their individual highest ever sales. For the quarter, we have sold 1.34 million sq ft at value of rupees 11.10 billion and highest ever price realization of 8,255 per sq ft. Our consistent focus on cash flow and cost management has helped us to reduce net debt by rupees 5.15 billion during the last financial year. We are happy to inform you that in this quarter we were able to bring down our debt equity to below one, as committed earlier to investor community in the previous quarterly calls. As on 31st March 2022, our debt equity is 0.93. This has been possible for company achieving highest ever cash inflow of 12.91 billion. We would like to inform you that our average cost of borrowing has further come down to 8.40% as on 31st March 2022. During the quarter, we have launched Sobha Brooklyn Tower in Bangalore with super built-up area of 197,096 sq ft. On the planned residential launches of 13.53 million sq ft across various cities, we are on track. These launches are expected to further boost our sales in the coming quarters. As on 31st March 2022, we have an unsold inventory of 14.09 million sq ft in ongoing and completed projects, which we consider adequate in the given market scenario. As on 31st March 2022, we have unsold completed project inventory of 0.37 million sq ft, valued at 2.91 billion, which is one of the lowest by industry standards, and it's also showing our capability to sell the inventory before project completion. If we talk about delivery, we have delivered 120.08 million square feet of developable area, including residential and contractual projects, which is one of the highest in our sector. We have achieved 70% of sales on the area which is released for sale in the ongoing project. Committed receivable from sold units stands at 53.87 billion as on 31st March 2022, provide full coverage for balance cost to be spent for ongoing projects which is offered for sale. So now I will summarize our Q4 2020 performance. If cash flow, if we go to cash flow first of all, we have achieved historically highest total cash inflow of rupees 12.91 billion during Q4 2022. Total cash inflow is up by 32% year on year and 22% quarter on quarter. We have achieved real estate cash inflow of 10.60 billion during quarter four, the highest ever since inception. Real estate cash inflow is up by 48% and 26% as compared to Q4 21 and Q3 22 respectively. We have generated operating cash flow of rupee 4 billion during quarter four 2022. The same is up by 71% and 92% as compared to Q4 21 and Q3 2022 respectively. Our net debt got reduced by 3.17 billion in Q4 2022. We are able to reduce net debt by 7.57 billion in last 10 quarters. If we talk about FY 2022, our borrowing cost has come down by 64 basis points during FY 2022 and net debt cost reduced by 5.15 billion during FY 2022. We have achieved total cash inflow of 39.82 billion during FY 2022, which is up by 29% as compared to FY 21. Achieved real estate cash inflow of rupees 31.73 billion during FY 2022, which is the highest ever since inception. The same is up by 44% as compared to FY 21. We have generated operating cash flow in cash flow of rupees 9.20 billion during FY 2022, which is the highest ever since inception. The same is up by 44% as compared to FY 2021. Now I would like to highlight sales numbers. In Q4, we have achieved total sales volume of rupee 1.34 million square feet of super built-up area valued at rupee 11.10 billion, which is highest ever since inception. Due to consistent demand across the product segment and price increase, we were able to achieve best ever price realization of rupee 8,265 per square feet. Average price realization is improved by 4.4% Q on Q. Sales volume achieved by Gurgaon region is the highest ever since inception. During the quarter, we have launched Brooklyn Towers. So, FY 2022, we have achieved best ever sales volume and sales value of 4.91 million square feet and rupees 38.70 billion respectively. Shobha share of sales value highest ever since inception. Bangalore, Gurgaon and GIFT City region have achieved highest ever sales volume during the FY 2022. Total sales volume and sales value were up by 22%, 23% respectively as compared to FY 21. Sales volume achieved by Gurgaon region is up by 83% as compared to FY 21. We have delivered 4.07 million square feet of developed area during FY 22 in real estate and 3.71 million in contractual. So now I will take through you to financial highlights. In Q4, total income for Q4 2022 stands at rupees 7.60 billion. Real estate revenue for Q4 stands at 5.33 billion, up by 19%. Q on Q and 84% year on year. EBITDA for Q4 stands at 1.19 billion, higher at by 16%. PBT for Q4 22 stands at rupees 0.36 36 billion, higher by 5%. PAT for the Q4 2022 stands at 0.26 billion, higher by 3%. Total FY 2022, total income for FY 2022 stands at rupees 27.89 billion, up by 29% as compared to FY 21. Real estate revenue for FY 2022 stands at rupees 20.10 billion, up by 53% as compared to FY 21. Contractual and manufacturing vertical revenue for FY 2022 stands at rupees 7.20 billion. EBITDA for FY 2022 stands at rupees 5.22 billion, margin at 19%. PBT for FY 2022 stands at rupees 1.58 billion, margin at 6%. PAT for FY 2022 stands at rupees 1.16 billion, that is 4%. Out of cumulative sales done in residential business, as on 31st March 2022, there is balance revenue of rupees 80.81 billion to be recognized as revenue, which will come in future years. Now I will hand over to Jagdish sir for his further comments.
Thank you, Yogesh, for the detailed commentary on the financial results of both the quarter and the financial year. The financial year FY 21-22 was a year of executing the learnings from our FY21 experience with COVID-impacted business and operating environment. And even though there were similar impacts in Q1 and partially in Q4, we could recover quickly and perform better, aided by what we believe is a sustainable demand environment. As you would have seen, we have improved our performance across all parameters on a continuous basis during this financial year. We registered some of our best quarter figures in Q4 on the back of improved operations and steady sales with positive customer sentiment that resonated throughout the year. Our consistent performance during the year goes on to showcase customers' confidence in our products and services, diversified across cities and businesses. We will continue to focus on our disciplined growth strategy in all verticals of our business and prioritize operational excellence, cash flow as we embark on the next growth cycle in the sector. We believe our self-reliant business model with an integrated design-to-delivery ecosystem, prudent capital allocation, strong brand equity built on years of customer trust will be the foundation for remaining competitive and sustaining the growth momentum. While we believe the demand environment seems positive, the unprecedented inflationary environment has also caused significant cost increases for everyone and affecting us as well. This might impact margins for us going into future, particularly in projects where we have already sold majority of the inventory. We have continued to increase our prices, which we started in the Q3 of last financial year, and it looks like we will need to continue to do that in order to cover up some of the cost increases. The next financial year also seems to be filled with both opportunities and challenges which we are geared up to tackle. With this, I would like to open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Pritesh Sheth from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Congrats on a very steady set of results and improved cash flow performance. First question is on obviously the launches. we have been seeing a very robust pipeline that you have been highlighting since last year or so. How is the visibility now in terms of launching projects from the pipeline that you have disclosed this year? And at least, you know, in short term, how many projects we see are, you know, getting on stream for next couple of quarters?
Thank you, Pritesh. With regard to the new launches, we have a solid pipeline across some of the geographies which are doing really well, one including Bangalore. In fact, after the quarter, we have already launched two projects in Bangalore, measuring about 1.5 million square feet. And we will continue to do new launches in the subsequent quarters. The pipeline for the overall launch that you have seen in the presentations and which we have been discussing earlier in the calls, they seem to be very robust, and we are actively working towards making sure that those pipeline the inventory comes into the market as quickly as possible. I hope that answers your question, Pritesh.
Pritesh, do you have any further questions?
Yes. Thanks for that. So, challenges we have faced in past in terms of getting approvals, have that been all sorted out, or are we still seeing some slowness in getting the approval?
As far as some of the specific cities are concerned, few quarters ago we had some challenges in Bangalore. Those have been resolved, and currently we do not see any city specific or project specific approval related issues.
Okay, thanks. And secondly, on due to rising interest rate scenario, firstly, how is the mix of our customers in terms of applying for mortgage versus not applying for mortgage, and how is the initial response post this 40 basis hike in interest rate from the customers? Are they a little bit hesitant in terms of making those property decisions, or we haven't yet seen any impact on that front?
Good question, Pritesh. As you have seen, that RBI has already increased 0.4%, and looks like there can be increases in the interest rates going forward. And which would definitely impact the home loan interest rates too. As of now, if we look at any of the leading indicators towards the demand fructification for us, we have not seen any big impact in terms of the on the demand environment, despite this increases in the interest rate. However, if there are movements which are more than 1 to 1.5%, we will have to actually watch and see if there would be. Considering the current strong job environment, job market, and corresponding confidence in the customers, it looks like that might not come in as a factor for any time in the near future. But we'll have to watch and see if the rates move up more than what one anticipates.
And any comment on mix, if you have that number readily available, how much of your customer mix is towards mortgage and opposite?
Yeah, so the overall mix is, we typically have seen for the ticket sizes of 1.5 crores and below, the mix is far higher in terms of the bank loans with over 80%. And for the ticket sizes over 2 crores plus, the mix is slightly lower. Having said that, the overall numbers always are in the range of about 80%. But the time at which people take the loan it varies based on the ticket size. For the higher ticket sizes, people tend to take the home loans a little later than the slightly lower ticket sizes.
Okay, thanks. That's helpful. All the best.
Thank you, Pritesh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Puneet Gulati from HSBC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. And congratulations for a very nice set of cash flows here. My first question is on the EBITDA margin. So the margin came in, you know, a bit lower at 16%. Is this something that we'll have to, you know, see going forward as well, given the impact of inflation, or do you see that price increases will normalize the impact?
Thank you, Puneet. You're right. You have observed it right that the EBITDA margins have come in a little lower than earlier quarters. It's as you know, in real estate, the EBITDA margins are considered, the revenue is recognized on the handover of the units. In the project, in this particular quarter, the some of the projects that where we have recognized revenue, they were of slightly lower margins, being joint development projects. But okay, otherwise, the margins on the real estate have been reasonably steady. Coming to the contractual and the manufacturing side, the cost increases have impacted in the quarter itself, because some of the cost increases have not could not be passed on to the customers, and hence there has been an impact on the EBITDA margins there. And also the some of the land income that we have recognized in this quarter, that's not of very high margin, so hence overall EBITDA margin has been low. Going forward, it is dependent on the mix of the projects again that we are going to recognize. For the next financial year, largely the projects where we are going to hand over, most of the costs have been baked in, and hence the cost increases, the impact of it might not be as high, but at the same time it might impact in the projects where we have sold in the last financial year, and the costs have to be incurred subsequently in the next couple of years.
Okay, so FY23, you're saying the impact will be not much, but 24 and 25 could see some bit of impact.
Yeah, that's how we are it's estimated at. We'll have to see in terms of even in FY23, overall margins and overall revenue that we can recognize, because most of our projects currently, because last 2 years we could not spend enough, even though we would like to, on the project. Now that the operating environment has become clear, we will spend a lot more. There has been a lag in terms of delivery, we will catch up this financial year, and hence the revenue recognition might take will improve on quarter on quarter going forward.
Understood. That's very helpful. My next question is on the debt side. So there's quite a good decrease in debt. How should we think of, you know, further reduction in debt? You're already 0.93. What is your target for now end FY23?
Like we have been discussing for the earlier calls as well, the debt reduction is one of the priorities for the company. However, we think that we have achieved quite a bit of our targets in the last financial year. Going forward, also it's going to be a mix of from whatever free cash flow that would be available for us. We would tend to prioritize first in debt reduction and two in investing in new opportunities as well. So from a capital allocation point of view, so in terms of debt reduction, probably we will look at further reduction, and uh, from new investment point of view, we have a bunch of opportunities lined up, and we have allocated some of the capital for that. It's going to be a mix. The second point is here, the new cash flow that will come in the next subsequent quarters. Like I mentioned, the construction activity would significantly increase in this financial year, FY23, and hence a lot of the cash inflow would be allocated to making sure the projects are completed. So given that, the cash flow availability for the overall net cash flow that would be available would also probably come under, might not be the same as what we have seen in this quarter.
Understood. Any number you can give, any target for 23?
23, we are still working on the numbers. We don't have a target at this stage.
Understood. That's helpful. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you, Puneet.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much, and a very good evening to everyone. So what's the new sales target for fiscal 23?
Sameer, we think that the demand environment now after significant increase in the last two financial years, particularly in the last six quarters, it reached a level where I think it's going to be steady. So I would tend to think that the sales would remain largely flat or little increase. I don't think it's going to be significantly different from what we have this financial year.
Okay. Okay, that's fine. And the second question is, any thoughts on what could be the collections and the construction outgo for fiscal 23? I know you made some qualitative comments, but anything more you want to add over there?
On construction outflow, Sameer, it's a more of a definitive number because we have a plan to deliver all the projects that are ongoing. So I think there will be an increase of about 60% or so in the overall construction outflow. And in the collections of inflow also, I think there would be an increase, but I think it will be in the range of at least 20% up.
Okay, so voice is not very clear, but so construction spend will go up by 60% and the inflows, collections would go up by 20%. Is that what you said?
That's right. Sorry for not being clear, Sameer, but yes, you're right.
Okay. And the other question is on the contractual business. If I look at pre-COVID, in fiscal 20, I think we did about 1,500 crore odd. And now it's obviously come down to half of that. So how is the pipeline building up? And do you think now customers are coming back now that pandemic is more or less behind us?
Right. So as you know, Sameer, we in the contractual and manufacturing revenue, we have both the manufacturing units which contribute about roughly 400 to 500 crores. That would sustain or that would go back to pre-COVID levels. But from a contracts point of view, we have seen that some of the projects that we have taken have, like I was mentioning earlier, we have taken some kind of margin hit. So we are carefully considering the business development activity there. And we are reevaluating wherever we have been active in bidding. So that's something that we are a little bit cautious about. So we will complete the current existing order book that we have. But going forward, we are reevaluating how we can bid and what are the opportunities that we seek out to.
Okay, sir. And one final question from my side. What's been the sort of price increase, you know, that you have taken? Is it like broadly on an average for the portfolio? Is it like mid-single digit, you know, on a six-month basis? And how do you see it going forward over the next six-month period?
If you compare from FY22 to FY21, there has been an increase of roughly about 6%. The going forward also, I think in most of the projects we have taken some price increases, and going forward as well, you can expect in FY23 also to have a similar number.
Okay, so excellent, and all the best. I got few more project level questions. I'll come back in again. Thank you.
Thank you, Sunish.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhinav Sinha from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, and congratulations on the strong cash flows that we have seen. Jatish, I just wanted to go back to the sales target. Did you mention you're expecting flat sales YOY this year? And considering the low base of COVID wave 2 and a bit of wave 3, is that right?
So, Abhinav, the sales, as you would have seen, we had done about 4.9 million square feet in FY22, and FY21 was about 4 million. I think this is a sustainable number, even if there is an increase. What I was mentioning was that this 5 million square feet is a number which is sustainable for us. And given our current inventory and the pipeline that we have, this is definitely something which is doable. Anything more would be a bonus for us, but from a target point of view, we would roughly try to achieve about in the early double digits.
Okay, so value wise, early double digit is feasible, considering pricing is also slightly higher. Yeah, that means right.
So volume wise, it will be roughly similar, a little bit up, but both. Volume and pricing series, if you take, it can be in low double digits.
Okay. And on the contractual side, the pipeline now seems to be much lower than what it was in the previous quarter. And the run rate of FY22, even is that repeatable, or is there like a wholesale rethink on whether the group wants to do this anymore, and you will maybe redeploy the workforce accordingly? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah. So there are two parts to it. First is FY23. There would be definitely an increase in the overall contractual and manufacturing business. Since we have an order book which we need to execute. So beyond that, what we are currently doing is what I mentioned earlier regarding the re-evaluating some of the opportunities that we have been seeking out to. So based on how they fructify, we will either continue on the current path or we re-evaluate the contractual business.
Okay, so maybe we will have a better idea for sustainability in a few quarters. Is that right?
Yeah, in a couple of quarters, we will have a much better sense as how we would go about in the subsequent financial years.
Right. And one last question, just on the Gurgaon project. So, can you tell us how much inventory is now there of villas which is left? Any timelines on when the new project with Karma One can be launched?
Well, on the existing inventory, we have about more than a million, 1.5 million square feet for us in Gurgaon. Corresponding to the new launch to Karma, we are still awaiting some of the clarity from a licensing point of view. Once we obtain it, then we'll be able to share the definitive timelines with you, Abhinav.
Right, but Hyderabad should be likely this year?
Yes, Hyderabad, we had been working on the doing a launch. We had more. We are in the last leg of approval, so hopefully we should be able to do quite soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Abhinav.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Agarwal from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and great set of numbers. Heartening to see a good debt reduction this quarter. So my first question is on your business development strategy. So how should we look at, you know, adding new projects into new geographies, or are you just going to focus on utilizing your land bank? So any color on that can you provide?
Sure, Mohit. Real estate in the new business development, it's going to be a mix of how we are planning to go ahead. One, as you know, we have a reasonably good land bank. Our first priority is to invest in the incremental investment that's required for this land bank to monetize it in the form of a project or in terms of a best utilization of the asset at that point of time. So in that regard, some of the projects we have already conceived and we would like to, they are going to come up as projects in the subsequent, this end of this financial year or early next year. And that's a continuous process wherein we continue to invest on our existing land bank to make sure that they come up as projects. With respect to the new pipeline that we create in terms of deals, we are on it in terms of evaluating multiple opportunities across cities. Our focus cities will continue to be our current operating locations, which is Bangalore, Pune, NCR, and some bit in Chennai as well. So in addition to this, if there are any fantastic opportunities in new locations, we would see it, but our first priority is going to be on existing operating locations where we have already have a team set up and brand recognition, and we understand the operating environment pretty well.
Okay. And sir, any outflow that you've planned both for, you know, your existing land bank to make it more monetizable for this year? So what kind of outflows are you looking there? And also any target that you have for investing in JVJDA projects that you just mentioned that you'd be looking at some opportunities in the existing locations?
I will not be able to share exact numbers for that, but it's an ongoing process where we evaluate opportunities and invest. But definitely this year we will look at investing in new opportunities in the cities that we operate.
Okay. So just last one on this, but is the investment in the own land bank, is it going to be a significant outflow this year?
No, that's the existing land bank. There are two sets of it. Again, some land banks which we can monetize much quicker. Those, I think, the incremental investment is going to be has to be done more in terms of permissions and conversions. So that's not going to be significant. And the second one on the land bank, which will take time for us to actually fructify and monetize, those also, there is going to be an investment, but that's going to be incremental and long-term in nature, in the sense it's not going to come everything at one shot, but it's going to come periodically. So both put together, it's not going to be a very large investment, but there will be an incremental in nature.
Sure. Thanks. And sir, my second question is on your P&L. We are seeing your P&L, your interest cost in the P&L, for FY22 was about 750 crores. Now your cash outflow is about 300 crores and there is a notional interest that you show of about 450 crores for 22. If you could give some color on that, is this recurring in nature? And is this something that, you know, if you could throw some light on whether your listed peers also do the same kind of accounting, if anything on that, if you could share.
So, you can take it.
So, Mohit,
This is India's requirement, so we have to compulsory show that notional interest in both sides, as well as income as well as expenditure.
Okay, so this will be recurring, sir?
That is going to be recurring.
So Mohit, what Yogesh is mentioning is that this amount consists of majority of it is notional financial cost, not the actual finance cost.
No, actually,
if you have to look at actual finance cost and understand it, our investor team will reach out to you again and probably explain that.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot, and that's all from my side.
Thank you, Mohit.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Lakhan from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. My first question is on your slide 15 in your presentation on your cash flows. Now, when I look at your balance construction cost of 87 billion against unsold stock value of about 100 odd billion, there doesn't seem to be much room to increase the cost to offset the prices to offset the increase in the cost. Say, if there's a 15% hike in the cost, a 6% increase in the prices will not really offset the impact of increasing the cost. So how should we look at this going ahead? Do we have the room in our portfolio to increase to undertake such price hikes in the market?
So Kunal, thank you for the question. You're right. I mean, there is the outstanding what we have receivables on that is mentioned as about 5,387 crores. So corresponding to that, we have a balance construction cost of about 4,800 crores. So you from there, this is all receivables and any increase in that cost, that outflow will have an impact on the margins. You're right.
No, so actually my question was on the overall portfolio, the total column that you have, which is your total outflow to complete the entire ongoing portfolio is about 87 billion versus 100 billion of unsold stock value that you can get from even the area which you have not launched so far. What I'm trying to ask is
So Kunal, this is Yogesh. So 100.64 is unsold stock value, whereas 53.87 we have to receive from our outstanding receivable. So 153 you have to look into minus 87. This includes 100.64 is unsold stock, which we are not sold as on date.
Correct.
Whereas construction cost includes units which we have sold also, not constructed.
Correct. And there is no scope of any price improvements or price increases on those units, right? So entire price increase will only happen on your unsold stock, practically.
Unsold stock, right.
Correct. But you have a total cost of 87 billion estimated on your entire ongoing projects, balance cost, right? So I'm saying that they are almost like your balance cost is 90% of your value of unsold inventory that you can fetch, right? So there isn't much room there in terms of passing on the entire cost inflation. So it just seems it will be very difficult to if there's a 15% hike in construction, practically you'll have to increase the prices by 15% on your entire portfolio to stay EBITDA neutral or margin neutral. So just trying to assess whether we have the ability to increase prices by that scale if the cost increase by that amount.
Kunal, if you look at the projected sales value of unsold stock, right? Because 8720 includes the it is for the completion of the unsold stock as well, where we have about 6,000 odd crores. I think that's where we have a room for improvement. So there is we believe that there is enough room for us to offset that.
Okay, Sure. My second question was again on your guidance side. Like, you know, so value you said in terms of value, low double digits, but in terms of volume, you said like flat or marginal growth, right? Now, again, like, you know, considering like last year there was some deadlock in terms of launching new projects, which is not there as of today, like you said. So, and we have 13 million square feet of new launches planned. So just trying to understand there, like, you know, how do I reconcile this, you know, because the new launch, approval pressures are not there, so new launches should come through. But at the same time, we are guiding for a flat volume for FY23. So is my range is another way to ask this is, are you seeing some pressure or are we seeing the market softening overall?
Kunal, what we are factoring in, which probably we are being a little bit more practical or on the cautious side, is because of the price increases and some of the additional supply coming in the market in the last few quarters and probably going forward, given the strong demand environment, there might be a chance that we would do these numbers which I'm projecting. If there are no such challenge, I mean, if the demand environment, if the price absorption is better than what we are looking at, then definitely we can do far better. So this is, I'd like to be a little bit cautious in terms of how we project our outlook. It's the reason why we are saying it's probably flat volume or from a value point of view, it's not too high. Is largely because of the price increases that we would like to do in order to protect our margins. Having said that, new launches, of course, create a certain kind of increased demand. So if there is a pickup there, then that would be additional bonus. So what we are seeing is still a strong demand environment. No doubt about it. Hence, first our focus is to make sure now, considering the last two financial years have been good in terms of the quality of sales, first priority is to make sure that the cash flow that we intend to spend on the construction is protected, and our continuous focus on the cash flow remains the same, so that we continue to generate net cash flow on a continuous basis. Second is also to make sure that the margins are also protected. So hence, considering the high inflation environment, we would like to protect the margins as well, and hence we are probably being a little bit more cautious on the volume. We will be okay if we do similar or slightly higher volume and value, make sure that our margins are protected.
Just let me want to clarify one thing. So are you saying that, you know, we could be cautious in terms of new launches this year, not because of maybe approval deadlock, but because of like the cost inflation? Or should we assume that new launches this year would be higher than last?
The launches are not a factor of any kind of caution. The launches would happen as we plan, but the offtake from the new launches with the kind of slightly higher prices that we have priced at might not lead to the demand which is the demand velocity which we can anticipate in the last financial year. So overall, the volume, we don't see that there would be an issue, and value also it's not an issue, but from a significant jump in terms of the new sales, that the financial year doesn't look like it's going to be significantly different from last financial year.
Sure. Thank you so much. That's helpful. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parvez Akhtar Qazi from Edelweiss Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question and congratulations for a great set of numbers. Sir, so you did mention about geographical diversification and where we would like to improve our geographical footprints going ahead. But as a medium term strategy, do we expect any kind of significant change in terms of contribution from Bangalore over the medium term to our sales? And today you get maybe about 70-75% of the sales from Bangalore. What would be this number, let's say 3 to 5 years down the line?
Thank you, Parvesh. So the current mix of the sales, Parvesh, is entirely dependent on the inventory and the pipeline that we have. So the current inventory that we have and what the visibility that we have, if you look at those and what we are planning to do in the next, subsequent financial years, it's very clearly we would like to diversify a little bit more, and the mix would, although Bangalore would continue to dominate the overall mix, but we would expect and probably target for an increased, of course, sales, but at the contribution of Bangalore coming down by at least 5 to 10%, which might be about, right now it's about 65-odd%, it might come down to 50 to 55% going forward. But it might not happen in the immediate future, but over the next few years, definitely we see that happening.
And which are the areas which will probably contribute higher for us to be able to achieve this target?
Well, that is multiple cities can contribute to those. Like I mentioned, our current focus markets would be currently where we are already operating. I think Kerala, Pune, NCR, GIF City and Chennai, once they start contributing better, then definitely their share would increase, and Bangalore's would, from a mixed point of view. Overall, but we still think that the volume and the value from Bangalore will continue to be same or go much higher from here.
Sure, sir. That's it from my side, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you. In the interest of time, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for participating in the call. As you have seen that our focus for the last financial year, and which has reflected in the last quarter as well, is absolute focus on cash flow management, which has definitely helped us improve our own operational efficiency. That with this learning, we would go forward in FY23 as well. And we think that these learnings will help us continue to achieve a much better financials and reduce our debt further, and give us opportunity to invest in new land opportunities across India. So if we look at a long-term plan, so our plan is to, like I have mentioned earlier, is to have a disciplined growth strategy, and that's the path in which we would go on. And I think we have set up the right set of environment and the thinking and strategy aligned across businesses and teams to make sure that this gets executed. Given that, we are very positive in terms of how we take up the the execution of this strategy, and we look forward to deliver extremely positive performance going forward. Thank you. Thank you again.
Thank you very much. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.